Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationships Matter with Dr. Annie Abram. We will help you to understand your interactions with others so that you can create meaningful communications with the closest people in your life, as well as someone you meet fleetingly, such as a stranger on a bus. Join Dr. Annie Abram and expert guests for a deeper understanding of your relationships, how to make them better, and most importantly, how to make them matter. Please be advised that this show is not a substitute for psychotherapy. Tune in every Monday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here is your host, Dr. Annie Abram.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening. You are listening to Relationships Matter, a show about social justice, mindful relationships, and parenting. We air every Monday at 12:30 to 1 Eastern Time. Call us at 646-716-5232 during showtime, or email us at Dr. D-R-N, no E, Abram, A-B-R-A-M, at gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter at Ask Dr. Annie. Today we have a returning guest whose name is Leslie Lagerstrom, and she was with us 4 years ago speaking about her son, Sam, who was in the process of transitioning from a girl to a boy. And at that time, it was very a new subject, a new issue that was just arising in the political mainstream, perhaps more accurately on the fringes of the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And today, it's front, stage, center. For example, there is an article in today's Times entitled Transgender Bathroom Hysteria, which is all about the backlash against North Carolina for passing a discriminatory law against gay and transgender people last month. Sorry. So here we are at the drawing board, and I had hoped and thought that it wouldn't be so covered with all of the continued shame, humiliation, etc. But here we are again. So, Leslie, thank you so much for coming, and I am looking forward to talking to you about what your journey's been like in the last 4 years and where you see us going in terms of advancing awareness.
Yes. Hi, Annie. Thank you for having
me.
Would you like me to start?
Yes,
go ahead.
I would love to hear about Sam and his journey, your family's journey, and where you've come from and where you are now.
Sure. As I mentioned, and when we first spoke 4 years ago, my child Sam was born and given the designation as being female at birth. But ever since Sam could speak, he told us that he was really a boy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our family passed it off as a phase at first, and oh, isn't that cute that a little one, you know, thinks that they should wear the opposite clothes than what their gender would normally be. And then we went with that tomboy label, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, that society gave us that tomboy label that we could use and we gratefully used as a wishful excuse to explain this gender atypical behavior that our child was exhibiting. But as was the case with so many children, more than people realize, our child was transgender. And this child was the key thing to keep in mind. It was a persistent, consistent, and insistent manner about this opposite gender that he was explaining to us over and over and over again. And so when he was 8, we started to look for help. And we found some, and he transitioned when he was 10. That was between the summers of 6th grade and 7th grade, so you can imagine how difficult
Wow.
going back to school in the fall of 7th grade middle school would be. But his need to have that congruence between mind and body was greater than any fear he had of harassment and bullying that he knew he was going to get at the hands of his fellow students.
Mm-hmm.
So our family said, you know, we will support you, and we did, which brings us to the last time we spoke. And, you know, we tried our hardest to be, you know, to help him get through these awful, hard years within middle and high school. You know, good days were lonely, and bad days were a living hell for this child because mm-hmm. of the classmates. And so we made it through 11th grade in our local public school system, and then it became evident, as is the case with so many of these kids, you know, you can only take so much, right? Bullying and mm-hmm. harassment and the feelings of isolation, being ignored, and it became apparent to us that we were losing him. Mm. And I had a mantra that I would always say to him, you know, I'd say, Sam, you know, only two more years and then you're going to be off to college and the whole world is going to open up to you. And I would say this over and over again, hoping that that would be the inspiration he would need to get mm-hmm. through these years. Well, in 11th grade, he looked at us and I said, you know, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And he said, I don't see it, Mom. And at that point, we knew we needed to get him out. We found another school for him, and it was literally life-saving because of the drastic difference in the cultures of the two schools that he was in. Mm-hmm. And I can speak to that, the differences, but just to finish the summary where he is right now, he went on to graduate from that school that we moved him to. And as, you know, mother knows best, he applied and got into several colleges but ended up on the East Coast, and he just finished his sophomore year, and the whole world has literally opened up to him. But there were times, Annie, where we didn't think we'd see him graduate from high school. We didn't think he'd still mm-hmm. be with us.
Mm. Wow. I mean,
yeah.
What an amazing journey, and the fact that, I mean, it points to so many factors. You know, number one, being the effect of peer pressure and bullying.
Yes.
And the loneliness associated with it, and the feeling, as you say, that there is no light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And, of course, you know, what that leads to is the unfathomable, losing your child.
Exactly. The suicide attempt rates for people within this community, transgender people, is 41% suicide attempt rate at some point in their lives.
And it's 1.6 in the general population, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's a crisis, if you ask me. And it's not because they don't like who they are. They know who they are. It's these external factors that they're facing, the, you know, the bullying in school or as adults, you know, discrimination in the workplace or, you know, as you referenced, not even being able to use a public restroom that is aligned with their affirmed gender.
So Sam is doing very well now. That is so heartening to hear.
But yes, you know, we are so proud.
Yes, you should be so proud. And you were there the whole way for him in a way mm-hmm. that many, many parents are unable to be.
True.
And
very
that,
true.
I
and
think,
that's...
Yeah, the key difference.
Yeah, that's the number one place where the support has to begin is that acceptance of the family. And again, time and again, we see that, you know, if families can't be accepting, those are the kids that are kicked out, turn into runaways, homeless. That home has to be the safe haven, because lots of times that's the only place where they have any glimmer of hope is in that home. And the minute they step outside, it's a hard world. So
absolutely. What has been your experience with other parents who are going through this? I mean, is it equally divided between those people who are able to support and those who aren't?
Or it really is. Mm-hmm. I would say I hear 50-50 these days. I get contacted by parents who want to talk, And, you know, the usual is the beginning, you know, where, and I recognize myself in them. You know, they talk about, you know, oh, this can't be, and I don't know what to do. And, you know, and so we just talk about, you know, what to watch for. And mm-hmm. what I always tell these parents is to just follow your child's lead. Just mm-hmm. let them be, you know, and see where this takes you. But unfortunately, some people can't. And the effects on that child are devastating.
Absolutely. And the not being able to follow your child's lead applies to many, many parents. And I think it's the most crucial aspect of parenting, that you really
Absolutely.
Need to allow your child's life to unfold as he or
Exactly.
she wants to.
Yep. And I think sometimes people misunderstand that for, oh, let them do whatever they want. That's not what we're talking
No.
about, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I get that kind of feedback from people, and that is not what this meant by following their lead. It's just allowing them to be who they are, just like you would a child who is cisgender. And, of
mm-hmm.
course, cisgender meaning that the, you know, biology and the mind line up. So treating them just like they would that child. Even
right.
though, you know, they're a little different.
Right. And you have a cisgender daughter, right, Josie?
I do. Yes.
Yes. And so
she's
you have,
4 years younger than Sam.
Right. And I understand that although there are typical sibling things, that she's been very supportive.
She's been amazing. Always.
Yeah.
When she was seven when Sam transitioned, and I asked her, you know, we were worried that she might be picked on because of her sibling, and so I asked her, you know, well, you know, does anyone ever ask you about Sam? And she thought about it for just a minute and said, no. And then I said, well, what would you say if they did? And again, not even, just a few seconds, and she looks at me with a front tooth missing smile, and she just said, Mom, I'd say I used to have a sister, and now I have a brother. And that was all, that was it, Annie. We literally did not talk about it again with that child. She got it, you know. She understood. Just being around Sam and in our, you know, our family dynamics, she got it. And she's ever since always been the biggest ally and advocate for him.
Hmm.
I might mention, though, as a side note, what is also all too common, though, with sibs like this, they become forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is so much energy and time that you know, you're focusing on, you know, what we had to focus on, Sam, you know, doctors and, you know, the school and, you know, figuring out, you know, legal matters like changing genders on markers on birth certificates. And there was so much of that that, you know, I look back and I feel bad, you know, because the things I was attending for my younger child, you know, ballet, you know, recitals and
mm-hmm.
band concerts. I was there, but I wasn't
mm-hmm.
because my mind
mm-hmm.
was always someplace else trying to help Sam. And I've heard many parents say that they feel that too, not just with having a transgender child, but just any child, any situation where you might have, you know, a child that needs a lot more of your time and energy.
Yes, I think that that's a very common occurrence. And it,
yep.
you know, establishes a dynamic in the family, which is very difficult to deal with because the one child who does have these extra needs gets them, of course, because they need them desperately in order to survive, whether it be, you know, medical problem or transitioning, you know, from
yep.
a girl to a boy or a boy to girl or special ed needs, et cetera, that child does need extra attention, and it's bound to affect the entire family dynamic.
It does. It sure
yeah.
does. Yes. So how you go about as a parent, you know, embracing that and being a role model for the others in your family and for your neighbors and community makes a huge difference
yeah.
inside the family and out.
You know, it seems to me that you are in a very privileged position in the sense that you really do understand what's going on, and you've been mm-hmm. able to help Josie and Sam have mm-hmm. a very deep appreciation of their differences and to be able
yeah.
to accept one another. And by privileged physician, I mean that, you know, very few families that I know of are able to be as supportive as you and your mm-hmm. husband and your entire family has been.
Right.
And, you know, that to me is some place where we need to raise awareness. And I don't
Agreed.
Know what you've done in that area, but I would be very interested to know, raising awareness among parents.
What I have specifically done, I will never say no when a community group, school, business wants to have me in to tell our story so that they can understand better. I've been really amazed at the organizations who have invited me. And I'll give you one really good example. Last year, the Association for Children's Museums called and asked if I would speak at their conference. And I said, yes, but I said, I am wondering why you want me to. You know, you wouldn't, you were not on my radar. And they said, because our guiding principle is to be inclusive within all of our museums. And we believe that this is a topic that our constituency does not completely understand and therefore could not, you know, go forward with our guiding principle of being inclusive. So we want to start to have this conversation with them. And, you know, what better way than to have a mom tell the story? So, and I thought that was brilliant because, you know, places like children's museums are, if you think about how they're laid out, those are places where the kids can be themselves.
Right.
And you know, and that's where they are, you know. I look back on Sam, those were some of the happiest days we had when we were in a children's museum, and I didn't understand till later why.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, just spreading that awareness, education, but then taking it a step further, too, I think you have to go beyond the education, and people have to really commit to educating themselves, and then hopefully what I want them to do is then, you know, have a conversation at their dinner table. Within their family, within their work groups. Transgender people are all around us. And if you haven't met one, I guarantee you will at some point in your life.
Or you probably have met one but just don't know it.
Exactly.
I mean, very likely,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
and, you know,
absolutely.
I know that from what you've mentioned to me, that Minnesota, your state, has a high school league where there was a lot of activity. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So about a year and a half ago, the Minnesota High School League, so that's the governing body for sports and other extracurricular activities like debate and acting and things like that. So they wanted to institute a transgender inclusive policy that the high schools within our state would follow. And what started out as seeming to be just very, you know, straightforward, here's the policy, became a huge political deal, and people came out of the woodwork screaming about it, and that, you know, it was that driven by fear, I think, and also just a complete lack of understanding. And so sadly, instead of going forward with the original policy, they came back about 4 months later with a watered-down policy. And it did say that they support trans youth and encourage their constituency to do the same, all these high schools, but they left it up to each individual high school to do what they thought was best for their students. And when you do that, there's no consistency there.
But
and,
also all the
imagine...
bigotry comes out and the discrimination comes out, you know, and the divisiveness comes out. I mean, it's not going to be helpful.
Yeah, it isn't.
To leave it up to the discretion at each school.
You know, and what if you have a child at a high school that is inclusive and has a, you know, support, and their team, their football team, goes and plays another school that is totally against that? You know, where do they where do they change? Where do they, you know? And there's just a whole host of problems, you know, when you let each of these schools decide for themselves. But that was just a real eye-opening example of. Just these people, just, you know, the fear and how they can really change what should be an easy policy to make to, you know, change that so that it's a negative. And, you know, when we're talking about people, trans people, are some of the most marginalized people in our nation, in our communities, and it's mind-boggling to me that there's that fear.
Mm-hmm.
When you put it in
a
basic,
we see that fear today writ large in our political process.
Right.
I.e., I think many people who are for Trump are very, very fearful.
Mm-hmm.
My own personal opinion. And I think that we see that divisiveness and fear every time we turn around or look at the newspaper or leave our homes. You know, it is very palpable, I think.
Yep.
Palpable, sorry.
Agree.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. I belong to a private online group of parents. And 4 years ago when I was on your show, I was the 50th member to join.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have over 3,000 parents that are on this site. Yeah. So my first point is, back to what I was saying earlier, these kids are everywhere. They're in all these schools, and there's going to be more. But then also just telling you that, you know, in this private group, it's a place where we can talk amongst ourselves, and that is an overriding topic of, you know, the fear that some of this legislation, the fear-mongering that these bills that are coming up are having on our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I mean, it is terrible. I mean, I think that, you know, North Carolina has been clearly, a hot topic in terms of legislation, and I'm very happy to know that so many corporations, PayPal included, have chosen not to participate in the state because, you know, they don't want to participate in this discrimination. So it's so interesting to me that it's so bad for North Carolina's economy and well-being, and yet they'll just go full force ahead and have blinders on as to what they're doing. You know, there seems to be very, very little comprehension, or I think worse than that, you know, desire to understand.
Exactly. You see a lot of that. When I go out and speak, when I first get up and I know what I'm speaking about, you can read the body language.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who's, you know, not with me, who's probably strongly against me. But what I find is it's hard after you listen to someone. You know, storytelling is powerful. And when you're
so powerful.
In front of these
people,
it is. When you're in front of these people and, you know, you look, this is a mom, could be your next door neighbor, you know, I see that soften. But unfortunately, we have to do a lot more of that to get through to some of these groups that are so powerful against, you know, marginalizing this community. They are not willing to listen, it seems, and or learn and educate themselves.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, you know, the very sad part is that it has to do with fear. And, you know, that's their own fear. It has nothing to do with transgender people. You know, it's just their own stuff, as it were.
Exactly.
You know, their own
and sometimes it's their religious background. Some of it comes from that. But, you know, if you think about what they're proposing to do to transgender people, we've seen this time and again in our history, haven't we, with race. You know, separate bathrooms with religion. And, you know, where is that, you know, how has that gone for us as a people? You know, it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
There isn't one case of a transgender person being arrested for doing something improper in a restroom except relieving themselves like the rest of us. Yet I know you and I and many of your listeners could point to many congressmen that have maybe been arrested for improper behavior in a restroom, some religious leaders, you know, you can go down the list. So, you know, they're basing this on the things they're making up. It's imaginary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's also such a, you know, stab in the back to them personally. I mean, these people cannot feel okay about themselves when they're playing footsie and then legislating, you know, against playing footsie and much more.
I agree. I totally agree. So true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's really crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know, as...
Go ahead.
Well, as I'm saying, as a mom, you know, you're I'm trying to raise a child to be strong and proud of themselves, and I believe for the most part he is, but you know, he can't help probably, I'm guessing, be affected when he sees things like that in the news and the newspaper and online about you know, what these people are saying and thinking and trying to pass laws against him, you know, and things like that slowly chip away at, you know, anybody. You know, who would would be a target of that.
Mm-hmm. I just received an email, and it says, I'm a transgender man who transitioned 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. From my point of view, it's still very difficult.
Absolutely. I know, and I agree, and he's right. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, like I mentioned earlier, in the adult population, you know, discrimination in work and places to live, just riding a city bus, you know, walking into every situation, having to quickly, you know, surmise what, you know, who's friendly, who's not,
right.
Who has to be careful, you know. I mean, that, I can't even imagine the toll that takes on someone's psyche on every, you know, on a daily basis, every single day, every single event that, once they leave.
Oh, absolutely. Once, you know, one walks out the door, you know,
yep.
You have to be looking left, right, forwards, backwards, you know, because you always have to be on high alert in terms of protecting yourself.
Completely agree. That is their normal.
Mm-hmm.
And it should not be. You know, when you just think about it. Why is it so frightening to people? Why is it anyone else's business? You know,
well, I think that sex in general, you know, can be very, very frightening to people.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, expressing one's sexuality or, you know, being a sexual person is to many people not being a good person. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're a bad person mm-hmm. if you have sexual fantasies, if you do anything other than what is typically accepted in our our communities and our society. You know, you're a bad person. I recently heard some young women from the Westboro Church in Topeka, Kansas, and these young women had left the church. But the amount of bigotry that is expressed by this church group is really unbelievable. I mean, they will go to the funerals of veterans because they were bad people for killing others.
Yeah. Or just even use funerals like that as a place to spew hate about the GLBT community. Even though it has nothing to do with the veteran or the family that, you know, is being, you know, recognized that day, but using that as a platform for themselves, it's awful.
Yeah.
There's a little transgender girl who's trying to raise enough money. There's a house for sale that's right near the Westboro Church main office, and
oh, really?
So she's trying to raise enough money, to buy the house. And then if they achieve that, they're going to paint it the colors of the transgender awareness, pink, blue, and white. So, just a side note about that organization and how a little person, I think she's only 8 years old, is trying to,
fantastic.
Trying to combat that.
That's wonderful.
It's amazing how these kids are, the resiliency, and how more and more are vocal about these feelings at younger and younger ages.
It's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then the polarity of you know, these quote-unquote powerful people who govern trying to shut them up at every corner.
I know it.
I know that you've suffered, your family has suffered tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is true, you know, for transgender families and transgender individuals, regardless of, you know, the amount of support. It's just a very tough world.
Agreed. You see it more in the mainstream media, and so, you know, it does appear that it's getting better. And I'll say the needle is moving, but not fast enough and not far enough by any means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we are seeing it. That's good. I never thought in my lifetime when we started this path with my child that I would ever see a transgender person on the cover of Time magazine, for instance.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Laverne Cox, though, you know, last summer, amazing. And things like that, you know, shows, Transparent, characters in really popular, you know, shows like Orange is the New Black. I never thought I'd see any of that. But at the same time, like the person who wrote to you and said, it's still really hard.
And I think that we always have to keep that in mind, regardless of the celebrity status that has been assigned to a very few transgender people. You know, that is a completely different world than what the typical transgender person deals with on a day-to-day basis.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
And then you think about, what they can afford to do, because, you know, for, you know, surgery and you know, medical treatments, and, you know, that not everyone, you know, has access to that, like you mentioned earlier. It's not easy. Some make it look easy, and it's not.
Oh, right. Exactly. It is made to look easy, you know, by many of these celebrities, and it's very upsetting. It's very upsetting because although there is a sense of advocacy, we both know that, you know, their experience is available to such few people.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, on one hand, it's great they're helping the visibility piece. I'm often asked about what I thought about Kate Jenner when I think about it, you know, and, you know, I can't deny the piece of visibility that she's bringing to the subject. All those people in that generation that grew up with the Wheaties box, you know, have sat up and actually have had people say to me, I never would have understood this, but now I do because I, you know, I watched this person, you know, at the Olympics, you know, and so they're willing, it seems like they're willing at that point to start to educate themselves. Up until then, they weren't, they've told me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a positive, but their lives are not usually typical of average transgender person. Yeah.
Yes, and Caitlyn Jenner in particular has, you know, access to media, to lots and lots of money, lots and lots of support, et cetera, which is not true of your average transgender person.
Right.
And also, I personally find his transitioning from a man to a very, very sexy woman to be off-putting, because it seems as if one's going from, you know, the fire into, I can't remember that expression, from the pot into the fire or something, you know?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, expressing yourself in an overly sexualized way seems to be sending a message as well.
You know, I think my guess on that would be that this person, I mean, total guess here, but I'm thinking this person has probably waited so long to be who they really are that I think they're just going for it. You know, maybe some of that is coming through choice of dress.
Yeah, very, very possible. And it's anger, you know, it's like, you tell me I can't do this, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. You know, through my blog, I hear from senior citizens that are transgender, and they write to me and they say, you know, I knew since I was 3, 4, 5 years old, but I also instinctively knew I better not tell my mom and dad. And if I, you know, and some say they did, and they were whipped and beat and kicked out, and these are people that, that tell me they're in their 60s and 70s, and that they only were able to be them true selves when they, much, much later in life, in this 60, 70 senior citizen, you know, age range. And, you know, you think
before
about what
we
that
leave,
does.
Leslie, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but could you please give us your blog? How we can
sure.
get there?
It's called Trans Parenthood, and the address is just www.transparenthood.net.
.net. I think that's the key thing. So it's
yes.
unusual. So .net.
Yes. .net. Not
emphasized. So I'm so sorry, but our time is coming to an end, and I so enjoyed speaking to you and catching up
you
with
too.
You. And I give you, you know, every accolade for doing what you're doing and bringing this transgender concern and this civil rights concern into our awareness.
Well,
thank
I appreciate
you.
You too, Annie, for talking about it, and that's how we're going to change things for the better. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You are listening to Ask Dr. Annie Abram, a show about social justice, mindful relationships, and parenting. We air every Monday at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for listening, and you can reach me again at Dr. Dr. Ann, no E, Abram, A-B-R-A-M, at gmail.com, or Twitter, Ask Dr. Annie. Thank you.